Welcome to the State of Business with the Ohio Society of CPAs. This is the show for CPAs, where we discuss the latest developments in technology, business management, career planning, and more, impacting the way you advance the state of business. The U.S. Supreme Court on June 21st held that states can assert nexus for sales and use tax purposes without requiring a seller's physical presence in the state. The decision in South Dakota versus Wayfair overturns prior Supreme Court precedent in cases from 1967 and 1992, both of which held that states could not require sellers to collect sales taxes unless they had a physical presence in the state. The court concluded that each decision was an incorrect interpretation of the Commerce Clause. The decision, which was a surprise for some court observers, is expected to have a major impact on U.S. retail businesses.
Oh, it's completely changes the game for, you know, accountants and internet-based businesses, as well as regular brick-and-mortar businesses.
OSCPA member Adam Garn is a CPA and attorney with Zeno Hall and Farron in Columbus.
Some may argue that the internet retailers that didn't have a physical presence in the state previously, that they had an economic advantage in their price because they didn't have the, you know, the 7.5% or, you know, whatever component the sales tax was, so they would have a competitive advantage over their in-state competitor who actually had to charge sales tax in the state because of that physical presence.
OSCPA member Steve Domingo, a CPA and attorney with Buckingham, Doolittle, and Burroughs in Akron, said he was surprised by the decision.
I thought that the court would give a lot more weight to the prior decision, stare decisis. I mean, all of the justices say that they don't, you know, effectively they don't agree with the prior decisions, but they still want to respect them because they had been issued and everybody's relied on them for 50 plus years. And so I was surprised, and I think that's reflected even in the decision, that it's a 5-4 decision in favor of the states, which means, you know, I'm sure one of the justices was vacillating back and forth. But I was surprised based upon a pure legal analysis. I'm not surprised based upon a practical analysis that it's clear that the states have not been able to collect this tax, even though the vendors are required to pay it. It's a compliance issue. So I'm not surprised by that, the practical answer, that they had to deal with this because Congress was just simply ignoring the issue.
OSCPA member Mary Jo Dolson, a CPA and partner with Skoda Minotti in Tampa, Florida, said she does not expect Congress to react immediately to the decision.
I know in the dissenting opinion, one of the justices indicated that they had gotten the original case wrong, which would have been the Quill case, that Congress needs to do a fix. I'm not sure if Congress now will do a fix. And I think in the short term, businesses now have to start looking at where they have their sales and determine, with the assistance of an outside accountant or internally, determine what other states have similar laws in place already, like South Dakota, and do they have to comply with those laws, and how are they going to comply with those laws? Because it's a more far-reaching decision than just impacting retailers and online entities. It also could impact a manufacturer doing business in a state. You know, if you have sufficient sales into a state, you also now have to comply.
Garn looked at Ohio specifically.
For Ohio, for example, you know, we currently have a $500,000 threshold. Does that, you know, by the end of the year, does that get reduced to $100,000? It's definitely going to be an interesting mix and an interesting balance as to see how states react to this. Is, you know, the Supreme Court allowed South Dakota under these certain parameters of $100,000 of sales or 200 transactions. Is that the proper amount for the substantial nexus? I don't know, but clearly you could at least do that. And our state's going to be more aggressive to say, well, $50,000 should be the answer, or 100 transactions. You know, it's going to be a balance until on a state-by-state basis to, you know, for businesses to comply. And potentially challenge any aggressive states in the future until Congress acts.
Garn said the immediate reaction is going to come from state governments.
This has been the landscape for 25 years as to companies relied on the fact that you had to have a physical presence in the state. You know, you had companies who would voluntarily collect sales tax in the past and remit that to the state on a voluntary basis. So I think I'd look out for whether or not states are going to become aggressive to enforce this. One part of that was interesting on South Dakota's basis was, is there it was passed on a perspective only basis. And again, you have to go back to the other states on a state by state basis. Did those states say, well, this is going to be prospective only, or are they going to take it retroactive? And then what are companies going to do to deal with that past exposure? Is it going to be the states are going to allow certain companies to come in, or, you know, companies come in and say, hey, you know, you may have relied on this decision in the past. You know, the landscape has changed, so we're going to allow a type of tax amnesty. Or should companies be a little bit more proactive and look at their sales and say, well, I want to do a voluntary disclosure where the state may be able to, or where the company may be able to limit how many years that a state could go back?
One main next reaction I think you'll see is that states that don't have a similar provision on their books or do not think their provisions are close enough to South Dakota's to pass muster, you're going to see more states adopting for sales tax purposes similar provisions to the economic nexus. So many such an amount of sales or transactions in the state. And, you know, you hear comment on the streets from other CPAs, professors in the industry and all that, that does this mean that Public Law 86272 from the income tax side protecting businesses, is that now going to become under fire? So I think, you know, down the road, and that's not in the immediate future, it's just what all does that change for the landscape of state income tax and state sales and use tax?
Rich Fry is a tax attorney with Buckingham, Doolittle, and Burroughs in Akron.
You're going to see a lot of states that are going to enact laws, obviously, that are similar to South Dakota. Several states have already done so, Ohio being one of them that enacted an economic nexus law that was effective January 1st, 2018. I think on the federal level is the interesting situation, because a lot of people are going to lobby Congress to put in some type of legislation, first of all, specifying that this opinion cannot be applied retroactively, which is not clear from the opinion itself, and then secondly, to set more parameters for states, because Congress could always increase the burden increase the threshold that a state can impose its sales tax collection obligation beyond that is in the Wayfair decision. So I think you're going to see some federal developments, and certainly there's going to be some lobbying going on at that level.
I mean, on a pure right thing to do basis, Congress should address it.
That's Domingo again.
I don't know that we can express an opinion as to whether Congress should venture in this area to reaffirm the old Supreme Court cases and not allow states to collect tax in the absence of a physical presence, but I think Congress could at the very least do something to smooth it out, as Rich points out, to make it a lot easier for compliance and enact uniform rules and regulations that states would have to follow so that there would be some consistency and a lot easier to comply.
And there is federal legislation that has been introduced on this topic. Several bills have been before Congress, although they've never been enacted. This might be a vehicle to create some momentum to enact those federal standards as far as sales tax collection goes.
Domingo tackled the question of whether the decision would be a shot in the arm for local retailers.
I think initially you would think it would substantially increase their sales because now it's an even playing field with respect to these, quote, foreign vendors, taxing state vendors, that now, you know, the same product will have to be can be purchased from the brick and mortar vendors for the same cost and probably cheaper because they don't have to deal with the shipping, although I suppose there's the storage costs and so forth. But I think on the other hand, and we're thinking about this for some of our clients, and it's interesting that so many businesses, the reality is so many businesses were built up on this ability to not have to collect tax, that and some of them are very, very big and were hampered. You know, they didn't want to collect tax. They were, you know, dealing with the issue of whether they should collect tax and maybe impede their sales or not collect tax, but then not have physical presence in the states. Now they're free to have that physical presence in the state, and maybe that'll offset what might normally be lost in some of their sales from collecting tax, but now they might be more efficient in, you know, developing the market and delivering the product and so forth because they can have that physical presence.
Fry said he expects that the ruling will actually hurt smaller mom-and-pop type businesses.
Very rarely will you ever see just a pure brick-and-mortar store anymore. All those small vendors, or at least the vast majority of them, have an online presence and try to make sales online. Now they're going to have the additional compliance costs to deal with collecting sales tax outside of their home state. Whereas, like Steve said, you have the big, you know, the huge retailers like a Walmart and a Target who have the physical presence in the state are already collecting tax. You know, maybe those companies are the ones that are going to get the bump here.
And then when you think about it, not only those small businesses, as soon as you register for the sales tax, of course, we always tell our clients, you're liable for sales tax, you're liable for every tax. And so it's going to open up the inquiries as to other tax liabilities that exist. And you know, the law in that area has been developing that it's a lower threshold to begin with, but now it's going to be even more obvious.
Garn said the decision could have other impacts as well.
This completely changes the way, you know, internet-based businesses were and work. And I mean, it does definitely change the way the landscape is on taxability of businesses in various states. And I think it's a surprise to everybody. And you didn't really know which way it was going to go. One interesting point that the Supreme Court did note was that they referred to Ohio's commercial activity tax. So from the Ohio commercial activity tax, we've had a couple of Ohio State Supreme Court decisions where they've upheld the nexus thresholds based on the $500,000 that are applicable to the cat. So, you know, I think there was always a question on did Quill only apply to sales taxes? And I think the way that the justice expanded and mentioned at least the Ohio cat makes the nexus arguments against the cat a little bit weaker for businesses.
So what should Ohio CPAs do now?
Well, it kind of opens everything up to what states are you currently selling in. If you're a internet-based business, then you want to first look at, one, if you have sales in a state in the past, and do you have what type of sales, you know, how much in sales and how many transactions. So today's decision, while unclear whether, you know, what the proper threshold is, but, you know, the Supreme Court did say that $100,000 of sales or 200 transactions into a state would avail that company to nexus in the state. So what you want to do is look at your sales and do you meet either of those thresholds? And you also want to look at other states in determining what those state-specific threshold is. So since Congress hasn't acted at this point in time, every state's kind of on their own. So South Dakota's threshold was $100,000 of sales or 200 transactions, whereas Ohio, for example, has $500,000 in sales. So it's almost look at your sales, and then you have to do an analysis on a state-by-state basis as to determine whether or not you would meet that the nexus threshold in that state.
Dolson says, do your homework.
I think what CPA firms and CPAs need to do is gather as much information as they can about the decision, about the laws in the different states, and then be very proactive with clients if they haven't already discussed the possibility of the outcome before the outcome. You have to get in front of clients to educate them so that they can analyze where they're doing business and determine, okay, South Dakota, yes, I meet that $100,000 of sales or 200 transactions, I have to get registered. But it's really not just even as simple as that. You then have to determine, is what I'm selling taxable or is there an exemption? What do I need to register? What rates do I need to collect? So I think CPAs, we have an opportunity to be very, very proactive with our clients and help them make the right necessary decisions to address what is now the law of the land, in essence.
Some have suggested that the ruling might prompt Congress to act this year on the mobile workforce bill.
Definitely it might. I totally agree. You know, that's been another, the mobile workforce bill has been another one that's been sitting around for a few years with Congress, and it may drive them to start working on that. Because that could open up the floodgates, you know, the change yesterday could open up the floodgates for withholding, you know, all kinds of different items that states could try.
Fry said there is now exposure to companies for withholding tax when they send employees on sales calls or to trade shows outside their home state.
We have a lot of clients, and some of them aren't all equipped to withhold income tax for those other states, and certainly they don't want to register for withholding tax because that could raise flags for other taxes. But I think that would be a wonderful bill to be passed to provide a definitive line as to when employees become subject to income tax in a foreign state, where they're only in there for a few days. You know, it would be a large burden for businesses to be required to withhold and pay that tax over to the state where they work.
Fry said that in making this decision, the High Court has raised a number of other questions.
It's important to note that there is some uncertainty in this decision, specifically with respect to retroactivity and with respect to what mechanisms must the state have in place such that it doesn't create an undue burden on interstate commerce. In this particular decision, they really emphasized and highlighted that South Dakota had the streamlined sales tax in effect, which, if you're not aware, is a agreement amongst many states. I believe 24 or 20 states are members of the streamlined sales tax agreement, and it provides some uniform laws. The other thing, one component is it requires a single state agency to do all auditing and assessments, so you can't be audited by multiple different municipalities within the state. So it makes it easier from a compliance perspective. So the question is, all right, for those about half the states that don't have streamlined sales tax, does this opinion still apply to them? Do they need to put some simplification mechanisms in their law in order to enforce the sales tax collection obligation to these vendors that don't have a physical presence?
Domingo said the decision simply highlights what CPAs should have been doing all along.
That's monitoring their activities of the business outside of their home state. And now it puts a premium on that. It's absolutely critical that the businesses know where their sales are, they quantify where their sales are, and then an analysis has to be made with respect to, is there a basis to not collect tax in the future? You know, to Rich's point, does that particular state that where it looks like you have substantial sales, do they have, you know, the requisite statutory provisions in place that the Supreme Court appears to have blessed, and then consideration of all the ancillary consequences associated with having to register and collect tax. Does that mean you're liable for, as you mentioned, the withholding tax, a franchise tax, an income tax? It opens the door for inquiry with respect to all these other taxes that really should have always been monitored, but now it's a premium. Now it's really going to come to the front and center. And hopefully the states aren't going to be aggressive in trying to look at that past activity. But I think our advice would be you got to move forward with good faith, and good faith trying to identify where the liability looks like it's going to exist, and anticipate having to deal with it on a prospective basis probably relatively soon.
The other thing I'd emphasize is all the questions that Steve and I just raised, that's why it would be appropriate for Congress to step in and answer those questions. So states don't try to be aggressive and overbearing and force their collection obligations for past periods. That's why if we could get some guidance from U.S. Congress on these matters, it would make businesses, the burdens of complying for businesses would be a lot lower.
Dolson said, above all, CPAs should keep their heads.
I just think it's important to, I guess in some respects, not panic as we address the issue and logically, approach clients and figure out what they're doing, what states, what they're selling. Because you have so many unique laws out there also from the sales tax perspective. Some states have clothing exemptions, some don't. Just to make sure that, yes, a client may have nexus in a state, but you have to look at the taxability of their products too. So you have to make a holistic approach to everything. I think that's the most important takeaway from it.
You can learn more about the Wayfair decision on July 18th when we host a webinar on that topic. Go to store.ohiocpa.com and look for product number 52152. The title is A Closer Look at Wayfair versus South Dakota. This 50-minute presentation is just $35 and is worth one tax credit. And don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find the links to our channels in the episode description. If you like the podcast, please spread the word, share a link, or tweet that you're listening. Send me your thoughts on this episode or an idea for a future podcast at ghunt@ohiocpa.com.